This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Thaddeus McCotter, recovering politician, writing in American Greatness. He cites John O'Sullivan's first law, quote, "All organizations that are not actually right-wing will over time become left-wing. I cite as supporting evidence the ACLU, the Ford Foundation, and the Episcopal Church. The reason is, of course, that people who staff such bodies tend to be the sort who don't like private profit, business, making money, the current organizations of society, and by extension, the Western world, at which point Michel's iron law of oligarchy takes over, and the rest follows." That is a very good evening to you. The observation wry would also seem to be accurate, and has been accurate for some decades. In fact, this is a world I grew up in the 1960s. Do you see any reason to believe there'll be a diminution in the future, or is this now constant? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, John. Well, the reason I wrote the article was twofold. One is I saw the study in Lisa DePasquale's Bright newsletter, where they had a clinical study of left-wing authoritarianism, where they actually treated it as they do right-wing authoritarianism, which is do a study on it to find out why people behave in that manner on that side of the political spectrum. I brought O'Sullivan's Law into it because it shows that these people are into it for dark ego vehicle principles, which the authors of the clinical study coined, which in short means they tend to hijack organizations that are highly visible, especially to provide their own ego gratification and their own darker impulses and sense of narcissism. We've seen studies on the right where that is clearly happening in some instances on the right. No one disputes that. But the second reason I wrote it is because the study was so rare. And in fact, the authors of the study, the people who did the research on it, talked about how they were going about setting up their models, and many of their colleagues rejected the very thought that there could be anything such as left-wing authoritarianism. Now, you and I both know, John, as students of history, that there is such a thing as left-wing authoritarianism, as Mr. Stalin, Mr. Pol Pot, Mr. Lenin, and others will tell you. And their victims and their families will certainly tell you that, and you're left alive. So I was fascinated by this, but then when you look at it, they've been very successful at both academia, within the media, within government, within almost every institution they touch. You see left-wing authoritarianism is starting to reign triumphal. At this point in time, then, we needed this study. I thought it was a very timely study. And I thought it was also worth pointing out that the people who believe that politics is life are going to continue to do what they do. And what's going to have to happen is people who believe that politics is part of life, like the conservatives do and the populist Republicans do, we're going to have to engage them more so than we'd like to, because there's no other alternative at this point in time.
You use examples of major institutions. The one that strikes me as puzzling about how it is not reined in is, it calls itself Antifa, right? That is A-N-T, as if it was anti-fascist. What is that? Is that a left-wing organization? Is that anarchists? Why is it protected or apparently protected in some fashion in cities on the West Coast?
Well, I don't know why they protect it. It's clearly a left-wing organization. It's anarchist. It did provide some of the street muscle for the 2020, quote, mostly peaceful, end quote, riots. And they also engage in criminal activity. So why are they protected? I don't know. Why does the left coddle criminals? You'd have to ask some of the Soros prosecutors why they do that, especially when many of the victims are Democratic voters, especially in urban areas where crime, places like Chicago. So when you look at it, I don't know why they do it. But maybe there must be a utility for them within the left's ideological prism. What they do as a practical matter, John, again, as I said earlier, is they do provide muscle on the streets for when the left wants to take to the streets to try to frustrate the will of the voters as expressed through more peaceful means.
You're right. The failure to recognize, let alone redress, the existence of authoritarianism on both left and right constitutes an erosion of the fundamental checks and balances required in a constitutional republic and the foundational principle of equality before the law required in a just society. What you're saying is that we're in the grip of this right now, authoritarianism from both sides. Is that correct?
Well, clearly you see it every time that the papers talk about right-wing authoritarianism or the far right. They never talk about the far left. They never talk about left-wing authoritarianism. They just do not recognize it because either they're part of it or they agree with the aims of it. So when you look at it, John, it's everybody saw this during COVID. We saw where people who were literally burning things and rioting and looting were considered, that's okay. That's just their voice being heard. Whereas if you have something doing some other, if you have somebody on the right doing it, they wind up with 20-year prison sentences. And rightly so. So what has to happen is if justice is truly blind in the United States, it can't be political. But yes, you have all on the left-wing authoritarians are more than happy to excuse left-wing violence, left-wing lawlessness and disorder, and only punish on the right. So as a free republic, which we all share, where you have justice, which is political, what you're dealing with is a fundamental erosion and ultimately the extinction of our revolutionary experiment in self-government because some people cannot control their darker impulses and will not treat everyone the same.
The left-wing authoritarianism you're pointing to is deeply embedded now in American civil authority. Is there any remedy to this, or do we just live with it, watch it dominate?
No, we're not going to live with it. Eventually, it's going to go the way of the Prohibition movement. American people are sick and tired of it. They're tired of cancel culture. They're tired of corporations spending our own money against us. We're tired of the tax of the government using our own resources against us. We're tired of people we trust with positions within the federal government basically turning on the citizenry of the United States. Look, there's a very fundamental principle in the United States is tolerance. And yet what the left demands is acceptance. You are not entitled to acceptance. You are entitled to tolerance. My conscience is my own. It will never be a prisoner of the state or the state's dictates.
The puzzle then, is politics an answer to it, or do we have to do it in our institutions?
You have to do it across the board. Obviously, there are political aspects to it, and there are also societal aspects to it. There's economic aspects to it. There's a host of different ways it has to be resisted. And it's a resistance because, again, it is the left trying to exert their will upon everyone else. Many of them, again, because they have narcissistic and darker tendencies to their psyche, as the research showed. And they have to be combated, just as right-wing authoritarianism has to be combated. It's why, as I say in the piece, I oppose fascism and communism. That will help me preserve our free republic. If you only oppose one, not the other, you're not helping things. You're actually making things worse.
The apparent present concern of the Department of Justice is right-wing authoritarianism. Is that the way to read what the DOJ is talking about?
They don't have to read it. They say it. They're very blunt about it. What they've done is they've created a misinformation, disinformation narrative. The greatest threat to the United States is domestic right-wing terrorism. You've seen instances. I think a letter was just sent by the House demanding why the grants were made to people who lumped the Republican Party in with the Nazi Party when they try to study it. So what they've tried to do is create a paranoia and dependence upon the police powers of the government for their voters so that they can continue to stay in power. And what they've done then is made sure that the justice is no longer blind, that we have political justice, and it's despicable, and these people need to go.
That is McCotter writing at American Greatness about the institutions now captured by the authoritarian left. I was keen on the Episcopal Church. I hear it routinely. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.